Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. I'm your host, Evelyn, and I am so grateful that you've joined me today. This episode is a little bittersweet because today we're closing the book of Deuteronomy. Over the last 8 weeks, we've been walking through what was originally designed as a 12-week Bible study. We condensed some of the lessons so we could complete the study in 8 weeks, but we never lost sight of what God was teaching us through this incredible book. I have to admit, when I wrote this study and when we first started Deuteronomy, I wondered how many people would actually be excited about studying it. If you're like most Christians, you've probably read parts of Deuteronomy before, maybe during a yearly Bible reading plan. And if we're honest, it's easy to think of it as the book with all the laws. But as we've spent time together over these last 8 weeks, I hope you've discovered what I have. Deuteronomy isn't just a book of laws. It's a book about relationship. It's about a faithful God speaking to a people he loves. It's about remembering where you've been, trusting the one who brought you through it, and choosing to follow him into the future. And maybe that's why I love this book so much, because if we're honest, every one of us has experienced our own wilderness season. Maybe your wilderness season has been illness. Maybe it's grief. Maybe it's been financial struggles. Maybe it's broken relationships. Maybe it's uncertainty about what's next. Whatever your wilderness has looked like, the message of Deuteronomy is still the same. God is faithful. Today, I don't simply want to review chapters 7 through 12. I want us to stop just for a little while and look back over everything we've learned because I believe it'll prepare our hearts for where we're going next. So if you have your Bible, grab it. If you have your coffee or your soda, grab it too. Let's spend a little time together in God's Word. Before we begin, I always want to remind you that this podcast is intended to encourage you in your own study of Scripture. Everything we discuss should always be measured against God's Word. I encourage you to read the passages for yourself, pray over them, ask questions, and allow the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. Unless I state otherwise, all scripture quoted in today's episode is from the New King James Version. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this journey through the book of Deuteronomy. Thank you for preserving your word so that thousands of years after Moses spoke these words, they still speak life into our hearts today. Lord, thank you for every person who has joined us over these past 8 weeks. Thank you for those who attended our Bible study, those who listened to the podcast, and those who have grown deeper in their understanding of who you are. As we close this study today, help us not to simply remember information, help us to remember you. Open our hearts once again to hear your voice. Let your Holy Spirit teach us as we reflect what we've learned and prepare us for the Gospel of Matthew. We ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So, as I was preparing for today's podcast, reviewing what we learned Wednesday night and throughout this entire study, I kept asking myself one question. And if someone asked me to summarize the entire book of Deuteronomy in one sentence, what would I say? And after really reflecting on the 8-week study, I think my answer would be this. Remember God's faithfulness. Love him with all your heart and choose to walk in obedience because he has already chosen to love you. I truly think that is the heartbeat of Deuteronomy. When we first opened this book, Moses wasn't standing in Egypt. He wasn't standing on Mount Sinai. He wasn't wandering through the wilderness anymore. He was standing on the plains of Moab, looking across the Jordan at the land God had promised Abraham hundreds of years earlier. And behind him was 40 years of history. In front of him was the promised land. Now, standing before him was a brand new generation. The parents who had left Egypt were gone. Their unbelief had kept them from entering the promised land. And now their children and grandchildren were preparing to step into the promises of God. Now, Moses knew something that they didn't fully understand. He knew he wasn't going with them. So these words in Deuteronomy were his farewell words. That changes how you read Deuteronomy. These aren't random speeches. This is a heart of a shepherd speaking to people he loves one last time. Now, if you knew these were the last words you would ever speak to the people you loved, you wouldn't waste them. You would simply remind them of really what mattered most. You would get basically to the point, right? That's exactly what Moses does. He doesn't begin by giving them a list of rules. He begins by reminding them of God's faithfulness. And isn't that interesting? Like, God knew that before Israel could move forward, they needed to remember where they had been. One of the things that stood out to me over and over again throughout this study is how often Moses tells the people to remember. Now let's think about that for a minute. He's standing before a generation that had seen God do incredible things. They had watched him provide manna from heaven. They had watched water come from a rock. They had watched him guide them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They had seen victories that only God could have accomplished. Yet Moses kept saying, he keeps saying to them, don't forget. Why? Like, they'd already seen it all, right? Because he understood something about human nature that hasn't changed in thousands of years, still the same today. We are quick to remember our problems, but slow to remember God's faithfulness. Isn't that true? Like, we pray for something for weeks or months, maybe even years. God answers that prayer. We're overwhelmed with gratitude in the moment. But then another challenge comes along, and before long, we're wondering if God is going to come through again. Like, almost as if he hasn't been faithful every single time, right? Now, Moses reminds Israel that if they forget what God has done, they'll eventually forget who God is. And he has a history, right? He 40 years, he watched them, the generation prior, do this very thing. So this is why the warning is so strong here. And I think that is why remembering is so important, not because God needs us to remember him, but because we need to remember him. Our faith grows when we remember his faithfulness. You know, and that brings us into chapter 11. I love this chapter because Moses isn't simply saying obey God because he said so. You know, instead he reminds them why God is worthy of their obedience. He reminds them about Egypt. He reminds them about all the miracles. He reminds them how God judged Pharaoh. He reminds them how he opened the Red Sea. He reminds them that their own eyes had seen God's mighty hand at work. In other words, Moses is saying, you've already seen enough to know you can trust him, right? Church, that is still true today. Every testimony you've lived through becomes another reason to trust God for your future. Every answered prayer, every healing, every open door, every time he carried you through something you thought would break you, those moments become reminders that the God who was faithful yesterday will still be faithful tomorrow. Then Moses says something that many people misunderstand. He tells Israel that if they love God and walk in his ways, God will bless them. Now, sometimes people read this passage like they think Christianity is some kind of transaction. If I obey God enough, God owes me blessings, and that couldn't be further from the truth. That has never been the message. God had already loved Israel. He had already rescued them. He had already entered into a covenant with them. So their obedience wasn't earning love. Their obedience was their response to his love. Now, that truth hasn't changed all these years. Jesus would later say in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, keep my commandments so that I'll love you. He said, if you love me. So love comes first, obedience follows. That's because genuine obedience isn't rooted in fear, it's rooted in relationship. I don't obey God because I'm afraid he's waiting to punish me. I obey him because I've learned that his ways are always better than mine. Then Moses paints a beautiful picture for Israel. He tells them they're entering a land unlike Egypt. In Egypt, they depended on the Nile River to water their crops. but the promised land would depend upon rain from heaven. At first, that might not seem significant, but think about what Moses is teaching. In Egypt, they could trust the river. In Canaan, they would have to trust God. Every season of harvest would remind them that their provision came from Him. What a great lesson for us. God has a way of leading us into places where we can't rely on ourselves anymore. And why? Why would He do that? Because dependence deepens our relationship with Him. Maybe that's where some of you are today. You've entered a season where you don't have all the answers. Maybe your future is uncertain. Maybe your health has changed. Maybe your finances have become tight. Maybe you're praying for someone you love and you wish you had control. But perhaps God is teaching you what He taught Israel. Like, your security has never been in your circumstances. Your security has always been in Him. That's when our workbook asked a really important question. Why is remembering God's faithfulness so important? Why do we think that is? Because remembering strengthens our faith. When I look back and see how many times God has carried me, it becomes easier to trust Him with my tomorrow. Another question asked how loving God changes the way we treat others. Well, I don't think we can separate those two things. If we claim to love God, but I'm constantly bitter, constantly angry, constantly unforgiving, something isn't lining up. The closer I grow to Jesus, the more of His character should become evident in my life, right? Not because I'm perfect, but because He's changing me. He's changing my heart. That's exactly where Jesus takes us in the Sermon on the Mount. And I don't think that's an accident. One of the things I love most about week 11 of our workbook is seeing how naturally Deuteronomy flows into the teachings of Jesus. Sometimes people talk about the Old Testament and the New Testament as though they're telling different stories. They are not. They are telling one story, God's story, the story of redemption, the story of a Savior who was promised long before Bethlehem. Jesus didn't come to erase Moses. He came to fulfill everything Moses had been pointing towards. So in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." So these words are incredibly important. Jesus wasn't correcting Moses. He was revealing the heart behind the law. So the religious leaders had become so focused on outward behavior that they missed the condition of the heart. So Jesus says, "You have heard, do not murder." Then He goes deeper about, what about anger? What about hatred? What about contempt? Then He says, "You have heard, do not commit adultery." Then of course He goes deeper. What about lust? What about the thoughts nobody else sees? Jesus wasn't making the law harder. He was actually revealing what God had desired from the very beginning, a transformed heart. Because transformed hearts produce transformed lives. One of the things that becomes very clear as Moses reaches the end of his message is that he is no longer just preparing Israel to enter a land. He is preparing them to remain faithful once they get there. You know, it's interesting that we often think the greatest test of our faith comes during the difficult seasons. We think the wilderness is where we're tested the most. But if you read Deuteronomy carefully, Moses seems to say something different. The greatest test wasn't going to be in the wilderness. The greatest test would come after they entered the promised land. When they were hungry, they knew they needed God. When they were wandering in the desert, they cried out to Him. When they faced impossible enemies, they depended on Him. But what happens when life gets comfortable? What happens when the harvest is plentiful? What happens when your children are healthy, your bills are paid, your career is going well, and life finally feels settled? Sometimes prosperity can become a greater spiritual danger than adversity because we slowly begin to believe we've accomplished it all on our own. Now, Moses knew that. That is why he kept reminding them, don't forget. When we come into chapter 12, and Moses begins talking about worship, at first glance, it almost feels like he's changing the subject. He spent so much time talking about remembering God's faithfulness, walking in obedience, and now suddenly he's talking about altars and sacrifices and places of worship. But he really hasn't changed the subject at all. He's answering a very important question. If you truly love God, how should you worship him? The people were about to enter a land filled with false gods. Every hill seemed to have an altar. Every city had another religion. Every culture had another idea about who God should be. Does that sound familiar? Like, are we currently like living in that exact same kind of world? Our culture tells us that everyone gets to decide what is truth, that we can create our own version of God, that as long as we're sincere, it doesn't really matter what we believe. But that's never been God's message. In New King James Version, Deuteronomy 12, verse 4, Moses says, "You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things." And he reiterates it in Deuteronomy 12, 31, "You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way." In other words, don't let culture teach you who God is. Let God reveal himself. I think that's one of the greatest dangers facing the church today. We've become very good at asking God to fit into our lives instead of allowing him to shape our lives. Sometimes we want a God who never corrects us, a God who never convicts us, a God who simply approves of everything we've already, you know, we already believe. But that's not the God of Scripture. The God of Scripture loves us too much to leave us where we are. He calls us to holiness because he is holy. He calls us to obedience because his ways are better than ours. He calls us to worship because he alone is worthy. You know, one of the questions from our workbook asked why Jesus focused so much on the condition of the heart instead of just the outward actions. I think chapter 12 answers that beautifully. Because worship has never been about location. It has never been about rituals. It has never simply been about outward behavior. True worship begins in the heart. Jesus would later tell the woman at the well that the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Notice both are necessary, spirit and truth. Not emotion without truth, not truth without relationship, both. That's exactly what Moses has been teaching all along. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, not just your lips, not just your traditions, your heart. And that brings us to what I believe is the heartbeat of everything we've studied, the choice. Every lesson we've covered, every command we've read, every warning Moses has given, everything comes down to one simple question: who will you follow? God has never forced anyone into a relationship with him. From the Garden of Eden until today, he's given humanity a choice. Choose obedience or rebellion. Choose faith or unbelief. Choose blessing or cursing. Choose life or death. When Moses says choose life, he's not simply talking about physical life. He's talking about choosing the kind of life that only comes from walking with God. It's really the same invitation Jesus gives throughout the Gospels. Follow me. Think about that. Moses says, choose life. Jesus says, follow me. They're not competing messages. They're the same invitation because Jesus himself is life. He doesn't simply show us the way to life. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. That's why I love where we're headed next. As we spent these past 8 weeks studying Deuteronomy, we've been learning about God's covenant, his holiness, his justice, his mercy, and his faithfulness. But woven through every page has been a promise that someone greater was coming. Now we're about to meet him. Next Wednesday evening, our Bible study begins the Gospel of Matthew. And Jared will be leading us through that study together. I hope every one of you will join us because Matthew is the perfect book to study after Deuteronomy. Matthew was writing primarily to a Jewish audience, And from the very first chapter, his goal is to show that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the one the law and the prophets had been pointing towards all along. You're going to notice something almost immediately. Matthew constantly says that it might be fulfilled. Fulfilled, fulfilled, fulfilled. Why? Because everything God promised, he accomplished in Christ. And here's something I hope you'll watch for as we study Matthew together. Listen for the echoes of Deuteronomy. When Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, how did Jesus answer? Well, he quoted Deuteronomy 3 times. When someone asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was, where did he go? Deuteronomy 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. When Jesus climbed a mountain to teach what we call the Sermon on the Mount, he wasn't replacing Moses. He was revealing the fullness of what Moses had been teaching from the beginning, that God has always desired hearts that love him, trust him, and obey him. The more we've studied Deuteronomy, the more I realize that it isn't simply the end of the Torah. It's the bridge that leads us directly to Jesus. I honestly don't think you'll ever read Matthew the same way again. Instead of seeing disconnected stories, you're going to see one beautiful story of redemption unfolding exactly as God planned from the very beginning. And isn't that what the entire Bible is? 66 books written over 1,000 years by dozens of different authors, yet telling one unified story. A holy God pursuing sinful people through his grace until that story reaches its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And as we close our Deuteronomy study, I don't want us to simply remember facts or lessons. My prayer is that we'll remember the God who has been revealed through every page we've read. The God who keeps his promises. The God who disciplines because he loves. The God who shows mercy when we fail. The God who calls us into relationship, not merely religion. And the God who ultimately demonstrated that love by sending his one and only Son. So, as we leave Deuteronomy behind and prepare to open Matthew next week, let's do exactly what Moses challenged Israel to do. Let's choose life. Let's choose to trust God when we don't understand. Let's choose obedience when it's difficult. Let's choose forgiveness when it's costly. Let's choose faith over fear, and above all, let's choose to follow Jesus every single day. Because in the end, that's what Deuteronomy has been preparing us for all along. As I prepared for this episode, I kept coming back to one thought. What if we had never studied Deuteronomy? What if we had skipped over it because we thought it was just another Old Testament book full of laws that no longer applied? I think we would have missed so much. We would have missed seeing the heart of a shepherd named Moses who loved his people enough to spend his final days reminding them of God's faithfulness. We would have missed seeing a God who continually pursued his people even when they wandered. We would have missed understanding that obedience has never been about earning God's love. It has always been about the response of people who already know they are loved. And I think we would have missed seeing Jesus on almost every page. You know, I love how God writes his story. Nothing is wasted, nothing is accidental. When we began this study 8 weeks ago, we started with Moses speaking into a new generation, preparing to enter the promised land. Today, we're ending with the same invitation that echoed throughout the entire book. Remember. Remember where God has brought you from. Remember his faithfulness. Remember his mercy. Remember his discipline. Remember his promises. And because you remember, choose him. Not just today, not just when life is easy, but every single day. Because here's what I've learned through my walk with the Lord. Following Jesus isn't made up of one giant decision. It's made up of thousands of ordinary decisions, right? It's choosing to open your Bible when you'd rather scroll your phone. It's choosing to pray before you panic. It's choosing forgiveness when someone has hurt you. It's choosing integrity when no one else is watching. It's choosing kindness when you're frustrated. It's choosing faith when fear would be easier. Those daily choices shape who we become. And every one of those choices is really answering the same question Moses asked thousands of years ago. Who will you follow? So as we close Deuteronomy, I pray that each and every one of us leave with a deeper love for God's word than when we began. Not because we've finished another study, but because we've come to know the author a little better. Now I want to take just a moment to tell us what's coming up next, because I'm genuinely excited. Beginning next Wednesday evening, our Beyond the Church Walls Bible study will begin the Gospel of Matthew, and this study will be led by Jared. I'm looking forward to learning alongside all of you as we begin walking verse by verse through the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Then, every Friday here on Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls podcast, I'll be back to continue the conversation. These podcast episodes won't simply repeat what was taught on Wednesday nights. Instead, they'll keep us going, like a slower walk through and dig a little deeper, answering questions and making practical applications of what we've learned, and connect what we've learned to our everyday lives. I really believe this rhythm is going to help not just read God's word, but to live it. And I can't think of a better place to go after Deuteronomy than the Gospel of Matthew, and I'm so excited about that. Matthew opens by introducing us to Jesus as the promised Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and the fulfillment of God's promises. Throughout his gospel, Matthew constantly points back to the Old Testament, showing that Jesus fulfilled what the prophets had spoken of centuries before. You'll hear Jesus quote Deuteronomy. You'll see him fulfill what Moses could only point towards. You'll hear him stand on the mountainside and teach with authority, not replacing the law, but revealing its true purpose. You'll watch him call ordinary people to follow him. You'll witness his miracles, his compassion, his confrontations with religious hypocrisy, his sacrifice on the cross, and his glorious resurrection. Everything we've been studying has been leading to him. The law prepared the way. The prophets announced his coming. Matthew introduces us to the king. I hope you'll join us, because I believe this is going to be an incredible journey. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, which never returns void. Thank you for walking with us through the book of Deuteronomy over these past 8 weeks. What began as a 12-week study became an 8-week journey, and through every lesson, you have reminded us of who you are. Thank you for showing us your faithfulness when your people were unfaithful. Thank you for showing us your mercy when judgment was deserved. Thank you for teaching us that obedience isn't about earning your love, but about responding to the love you have already shown us. Lord, help us to remember what we've learned. May we never forget your faithfulness. May we never stop choosing to trust you. May we never stop loving you with all our heart, soul, and strength. As we prepare to begin the Gospel of Matthew, open our eyes to see Jesus more clearly than ever before. Help us recognize how every page of Scripture points to him and how your plan of redemption has been unfolding from the very beginning. Bless Jared as he prepares to teach your word. Give him wisdom, clarity, boldness. Prepare each of our hearts to receive what you want to teach us through the Gospel of Matthew. And Lord, help us to do more than simply hear your word. Help us live it. May our lives reflect your grace, your truth, your love, so that the world around us sees Jesus in us. We ask all of these things in the precious and powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me in this special episode of Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. Whether you've been with us since the very first week of this study, or you joined us somewhere along the way, thank you for allowing me to be a part of the journey, of your journey, through God's Word. If this episode has encouraged you, I hope you'll share it with someone else who desires to grow deeper in their faith. Invite them to join us as we begin the Gospel of Matthew next week. And if you're in the area, we would love to have you be a part of our Wednesday evening Bible study with Jared this coming Wednesday night. Until next time, remember this. Our faith was never meant to stay inside the church walls. It was meant to be lived every day, shared with everyone, and reflected in everything we do. May God bless you, keep you, and continue to draw you closer to Him. I'm Evelyn, and this has been Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. I'll see you next week as we begin an exciting new journey through the Gospel of Matthew. God bless.